epoca da lenda da ti sapanam tikam. Mantrikapatrubhyas chakrupasindu bhayabhacha patitram pavinevyo vaisnavevyo namo namah. Sati desired to go to the great sacrifice held by her father Daksha. But Lord Shiva warned her, don't go, he will insult you. And for you, being insulted by your father, by your own father, your relative, could it be worse than death for you? You'll prefer death to such an insult. So Sati heard this, text 1 in the chapter entitled Sati Quits Her Body. The sage Maitreya said, who is Maitreya speaking to? Vidur. After speaking the words to Sati, Lord Shiva was silent after speaking to Sati, seeing her between decisions. Should she go? Should she not go? I want to go. Lord Shiva, my husband says, don't go, but I want to. But my father will do this. I don't want to go. I do want to go. Sati was very much anxious to see her relatives at her father's house. But at the same time, she was afraid of Lord Shiva's warning. Her mind unsettled. She moved in and out of the room as a swing moves this way and that. Sati felt very sorry at being forbidden to go to see her relatives at her father's house. And due to affection for them, tears fell from her eyes. Shaking and very much afflicted, she looked at her uncommon husband, Lord Shiva, as if she was going to blast him with her vision. Sounds like most marriages, doesn't it? But anyway, we'll see. There's some purports here that Prabhupada's going to say, who's right? Because after all, what did poor Lord Shiva do? He just gave us some advice. He was quite innocent. But she was so angry at him because he told her something against what her mind wanted. So this is all our tendency. We want something with the mind. We desire it. And if someone puts a wall up with their contrary desire, with their eyes, we'd like to blast that wall away. This is the nature of this type of anger. Prabhupada describes in his purport to verse 1, Sati's mind was divided about whether to go to her father's house or to obey the order of Lord Shiva. The struggle between the two decisions was so strong that she was pushed from one side of the room to another, and she began to move just like the pendulum of a clock. And Prabhupada says in his purport to 2, since Lord Shiva could not be persuaded to give her permission, Sati took shelter of a woman's last weapon, weeping, which forces the husband to agree to the proposal of his wife. Anyway, there'll be lots of things to giggle about in the first few verses of this chapter. Thereafter, Sati left her husband. Lord Shiva, who had given her half his body due to affection, breathing very heavily because of anger and bereavement, she went to the house of her father. This less intelligent act was due to her being a weak woman. We should write Prabhupada a letter and tell him he is not speaking politically correct. But before we do, we should include this quotation from the purport. Vedic marital relationship existed between Lord Shiva and Sati. But sometimes, due to weakness, a woman becomes very much attracted by the members of her father's house. And this happened to Sati. In this verse, it is specifically mentioned that she wanted to leave such a great husband as Shiva because of her womanly weakness. In other words, womanly weakness exists even in the relationship between husband and wife. Generally, separation between husband and wife is due to womanly behavior. Divorce takes place due to womanly weakness. Is there enough giggles? No. Only the women are giggling, the men are smiling, and some of them are looking very intently at their books, making sure their eyes don't meet anyone else's. The best course for a woman is to abide by the orders of her husband. That makes family life very peaceful. Sometimes there may be misunderstandings between husband and wife, as found even in such an elevated family relationship as that of Sati and Lord Shiva. But a wife should not leave her husband's protection because of such a misunderstanding. If she does so, it is understood to be due to her womanly weakness. When they saw Sati leaving alone very rapidly, going to the house of her father, thousands of Lord Shiva's disciples, headed by Maniman and Mada, quickly followed her with his bull, Nandi, in front and accompanied by the Yakshas. So Prabhupada explains in his purport that the followers of Lord Shiva understood the desire of Lord Shiva. And what was that desire of Lord Shiva? That although Sati wanted to go and she was going, that she should not go alone. It was too dangerous and it was inappropriate for her to go alone. After all, she was the great wife, the great consort of Lord Shiva. So they understood his mind, Lord Shiva's mind, all his servants, and they all accompanied her. And they made a wonderful parade. The disciples of Lord Shiva arranged for Sati to be seated on the back of a bull and gave her the bird, which was her pet. What kind of a bird was it? Sarika. What kind of a bird is a sari? What kind?
Parrot.
Of what gender? A female parrot. So they gave her a bird, which was her pet. They bore a lotus flower, a mirror, and all paraphernalia for her enjoyment, and covered her with a great canopy. Followed by a singing party with drums, conch shells, and bugles, the entire procession was as pompous as a royal parade. She then reached her father's house, where the sacrifice was being performed, and entered the arena where everyone was chanting the Vedic hymns. The great sages, brahmanas, and demigods were all assembled there. And there were many sacrificial animals, as well as pots made of clay, stone, gold, grass, and skin, which were all requisites for the sacrifice. So the Prabhupada's purport. So there's this what Prabhupada's going to say in this purport is one of the themes that he will repeat during the beginning of this chapter especially. Because they're going to a sacrifice, and the sacrifice is to please Vishnu. And this was in bygone ages, where there were many powerful brahmanas who knew exactly the proper pronunciation and the proper way to perform the sacrifice and say the mantras in such a way that it would be so effective, so effective. But in this age, due to lack of qualified brahmins, due to lack of proper wealth, to be able to perform the sacrifice, these sacrifices are not recommended. Jagyaya Sankirtane Prayarya Jantihi Sumedita. Then in Kali Yuga, this age of quarrel and strife, and that the method of sacrifice, of pleasing the Lord, is chanting Krishna's name, Harinam Sankirtan. So Prabhupada will explain that in the purport and quite a few other purports. So Sati arrives with her entourage, all followers of Lord Shiva. When learned sages and brahmanas assembled to chant Vedic mantras, some of them also engaged in arguing about the conclusions of the scriptures. Thus some of the sages and brahmanas were arguing, and some of them were chanting the Vedic mantras. So the entire atmosphere was charged with transcendental sound vibration. This transcendental sound vibration has been simplified in the transcendental vibration Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In this age, no one is expected to be highly educated in the Vedic way of understanding, because people are very slow, lazy, unfortunate, manda samanda mateo, manda abhagya upadruta. And most of all, everyone is very disturbed in mind. One had to be able to perform these ceremonies or practice different processes. One's mind has to be so peaceful. But in Kali Yuga, no one has any peace of mind. There are so many things that disturb. From the beginning of our life, things come and haunt us. The fear of the future haunts us. And the present also is quite often quite difficult. So very difficult. So no one can do this. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has recommended the sound vibration Hare Krishna. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32, it is also recommended Yajna Sankirtana Prayerya Jantihi Sumedasa. At the present moment, it is impossible to gather sacrificial necessities because of the poverty of the population and their lack of knowledge in Vedic mantras. These are for two reasons. Now everyone thinks that we're making so much advancement and we're so much richer than we were. But everyone, what is the richness? We used to say paper money, but now plastic money. Plastic money, plastic everything. Plastic cars, plastic vehicles, plastic jewelry. Plastic everything. Previously, there was gold, silver, jewels, but now plastic. And yes, we think we're making advancement. Therefore, for this age, it is recommended for people to gather together and chant the Hare Krishna mantra to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is accompanied by his associates. Indirectly, this indicates Lord Chaitanya, who is accompanied by his associates, Nityananda, Advaita, and others. That is the process of performing jagya in this age. So that Sankirtan jagya was not the sacrifice that was going on at the house of Daksha. And at that time, into that auspicious sacrifice which took place so many years ago, Sati entered. When Sati, text 7, with her followers reached the arena, because all the people assembled were afraid of Daksha, none of them received her well. No one welcomed her but her mothers and her sisters, who with tears in their eyes and with glad faces welcomed her and talked with her very pleasingly. Purport. The mother and sisters of Sati could not follow the others who did not receive Sati very well. Due to natural affection, they immediately embraced her with tears in their eyes and with loving feelings. This shows that women as a class are very soft-hearted. Their natural affection and love cannot be checked by artificial means. Although the men present were very learned brahmanas and demigods, they were afraid of their superior Daksha, and because they knew that their welcoming Sati would displease him, although in their minds they wanted to receive her, they could not do so. Women are naturally soft-hearted, but men are sometimes very hard-hearted. Although she was received by her sisters and mother, she did not reply to their words of reception. And although she was offered a seat in presence, she did not accept anything. Why? Because her father neither talked to her nor welcomed her by asking her about her welfare. So this was just what Lord Shiva had predicted. When he warned Sati, don't go. He will look at you with raised eyebrows and angry eyes. You will be ashamed. to be known as my wife. So even though Sati went alone and not with Lord Shiva, her father did not greet her, even though he had so much affection for her. So see the effect of that pride and envy that we were speaking of yesterday. Pride, envy, it makes the heart so hard, unnaturally hard. And we'll see the result of this, the ultimate result, such disaster. Present in the arena of sacrifice, Sati saw that there were no oblations for her father, Lord Shiva. Next, she realized that not only had her father failed to invite Lord Shiva, but when he saw Lord Shiva's exalted wife, Daksha did not receive her either. Thus, she became greatly angry, so much so that she looked at her father as if she were going to burn him with her eyes. So in the first verse, not in the first verse, but in the second verse, she looked at her uncommon husband, Lord Shiva, as if she was going to blast him with her vision. And in this verse, she looked at her father, Daksha, as if she were going to burn him with her eyes. Actually, Sati is the external energy of the Lord. And she has the potency to destroy the universe, actually. So she could actually destroy Daksha. So she was so upset. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that actually, not in this purport, but later on, he'll explain that actually her reason for going is she wanted to try to convince her father to give up his enmity, envy of Lord Shiva. But her father was so fixed in that, that not only did he not invite Lord Shiva, but the mantras, Prabhupada explains in the purport, when one is offering a sacrifice and pouring ghee on the fire, the mantra Namah Shivaya Swaha will be said as the ghee is being poured on the fire. But they were not doing that. The Brahmanas were not doing that. They just wanted to completely cut Lord Shiva out, starve him of what is naturally his, the offerings that were naturally his. So Sati was very angry. The followers of Lord Shiva, the ghosts, were ready to injure or kill Daksha. But Sati stopped them by her order. She was very angry and sorrowful. And in that mood, she began to condemn the process of sacrificial activities and condemn also persons who are very proud of such unnecessary and troublesome activities. She especially condemned her father, speaking against him in the presence of all. Prabhupada explains in his purport about one third of the way. One may prosecute the Vedic injunctions of offering sacrifice and other fruitive activities, but so again, the sacrifices, they are meant, there's different levels of sacrifice and different kinds of sacrifice. Some to create auspiciousness and benefits in this life. Some to create great benefits in the next life. But ultimately, although the sacrifices are performed, ultimately they are meant for one thing, for Krishna's pleasure. To somehow or another develop a mood of loving Krishna, of serving Krishna, and to somehow become attracted to him. So if such activities of offering sacrifices, another fruit of activities, if one does not, by performing them, develop attraction for Vishnu, they are useless labor. Shrama eva kevalam. Lord Shiva is considered the foremost personality amongst the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. Thus when Sati saw that her father was performing great sacrifice but had no respect for the greatest devotee, Lord Shiva, she was very angry. This is fitting. When Vishnu or a Vaishnava is insulted, one should be angry. Lord Chaitanya, who always preached non-violence, meekness, and humility, also became angry when Nityananda was offended by Jagai and Madai, and Lord Chaitanya wanted to kill them. When Vishnu or a Vaishnava is blasphemed or dishonored, one should be very angry. Narottama Das Thakur said, Krodha Bhakta Dvishe Jane. We have anger, and that anger can be a great quality when directed against a person who is envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotee. One should not be tolerant when a person is offensive towards Vishnu or a Vaishnava. The anger of Sati towards her father was not objectionable, for although he was her father, he was trying to insult the greatest Vaishnava. Thus Sati's anger against her father was quite applaudable. So this is another major theme in this chapter, that one should strictly and very carefully avoid taking part in or hearing even, speaking or hearing any offense or criticism against the Vaishnavas. Very, very important. Satho nindam parama aparadam vitanute. This is the parama aparad, the topmost of offenses. So now, in text 11 through text 23, Sati is going to speak her mind in her anger that Lord Shiva, her husband, and the great Vaishnava has been insulted. The Blessed Goddess said, Devi Chu, Uvacha, Lord Shiva is the most beloved of all living entities. He has no rival. No one is very dear to him, and no one is his enemy. She says to her father, no one but you could be envious of such a universal being who is free from all enmity. So the Bhagavad Gita says that in the ninth chapter, Krishna is Samoham Savabhuteshu Name Dveshos Dinapriya, that he is equal, an equal benefactor of all living entities. He wishes well for everyone. That means that he has no envy or jealousy in his heart. Krishna. And Lord Shiva is almost exactly the same. So when someone is free from all enmity or jealousy or envy himself, Nirmatsaro Pujiko, they are worshipable. So she says so heavily that Lord Shiva is free from envy and he is friendly to everyone, and only you are the kind of person that can be envious of him. So condemning her father to his offense. Twice born daksha, she continues, a man like you can simply find fault in the qualities of others. Lord Shiva, however, not only finds no fault with others' qualities, but if someone has a little good quality, he magnifies it greatly. Unfortunately, you have found fault with such a great soul. Now here, there's an interesting analysis here by Srila Prabhupada. I'll read the verse again. What is her criticism? A man like you can simply find fault in the qualities of others. Comparison. Lord Shiva, who you are criticizing, not only finds no faults with others' qualities, he doesn't see the faults of others, but even more than that, if someone has a little good quality, he magnifies it greatly. Unfortunately, you have found fault with such a great soul. Prabhupada's purport. Sati, Daksha's daughter, put before Daksha sound arguments. There are some highly qualified persons who accept only the good qualities of others. Just as a bee is always interested in the honey and the flower, and does not consider the thorns or the colors. Highly qualified persons who are uncommon, a common person finds fault. Highly qualified, uncommon people, they see or accept only the good qualities of others, not considering their bad qualities. They see the good in all. Because everyone is a mixture of good and bad. So a good person will project his own mind and see the good in others. And a bad person will project his mind and in everyone else, Atmavan Manyate Jagat, in everyone else he will see his own mind, he will see bad. So he will not, highly qualified persons who are uncommon accept only the good qualities of others, not considering their bad qualities. Whereas the common man can judge what are good qualities and what are bad qualities. So the difference between common and uncommon. Amongst the uncommonly good souls, there are still gradations. And the best good soul is one who accepts an insignificant asset of a person and magnifies that good quality. Lord Shiva is also called Asutosh, which refers to one who is satisfied very easily and who offers to any person the highest level of benediction. For example, once a devotee of Lord Shiva wanted the benediction that whenever he touched someone on the head, that person's head would at once be separated from his trunk. It would crack. This is Vrikasura. Lord Shiva agreed to give him that benediction. Although the benediction asked was not very commendable because the devotee wanted to kill his enemy, Lord Shiva considered the devotee's good quality in worshipping and satisfying him and granted the benediction. Thus Lord Shiva accepted his bad qualities as magnificently good qualities. But Sati accused her father, "You are just the opposite. Although Lord Shiva has so many good qualities and no bad qualities at all, you have accepted him as bad and found fault with him. Because of your accepting his good qualities to be bad, instead of your becoming the most exalted soul, you have become the most fallen. A man becomes the greatest soul by accepting the goodness of others' qualities." So practical good lessons. If we seeing others as good, how will people see us? They will see us as good. So one actually becomes exalted, the greatest soul, by accepting the goodness of others' qualities. See the good. But by unnecessary considering others' good qualities to be bad, Sati said to Daksha, "You have become the lowest of the fallen souls." So she's very strongly condemning her father. "It is not wonderful for persons who have accepted the transient material body as the self to engage always in deriding great souls." It is not wonderful, meaning it is not, it is quite typical. It is not extraordinary, because one who accepts the body as the self, they have so much envy and pride. So they end up criticizing, deriding always the Mahatmas, the great souls. "Such envy on the part of materialistic person is very good." Why? How could it be very good? Because that is the way they fall down. They get their just rewards in that way. "They are diminished by the dust of the feet of great personalities." So they're very important instructions for us to be very, very careful in our dealings with everyone, but especially with the Mahat, the great. Prabhupada's purport is quite interesting. "Everything depends on the strength of the recipient. For example, due to the scorching sunshine, many vegetables and flowers dry up, And many, many others grow luxuriantly. Thus, it is the recipient that causes growth and dwindling. Similarly, mahi asham parajo vishekam. The dust of the lotus feet of great personalities offers all good to the recipient. But the same dust can also do harm. Those who are offenders at the lotus feet of a great personality dry up, and their godly qualities diminish. A great soul may forgive offenses, but Krishna does not excuse offenses to the dust of that great soul's feet. Just as one can tolerate the scorching sunshine on one's head, but one cannot tolerate the scorching sunshine on one's feet. The example is interesting. For instance, if you're walking on a very, very hot day on the beach, on the sand or something like that, so the sun may beat down on your head and you can tolerate it, but you cannot walk in the sand for long. That same sunshine has stored up energy in the sand and it is giving so much pain to the feet that you can't walk on it. So we can tolerate the sun on our heads but not on our feet. So similarly, the great soul may forgive offenses, but Krishna does not excuse the offenses. So if one criticizes Krishna himself, Krishna may excuse that. That's his head. But the feet of Krishna are, who is it, the feet of the Krishna? Is the devotees. Ayi nanda tunuja kinkaram pititta mam vishame bhavam buddha kripaya tava pada pankaja stita duli sarvisham vichintaya. So Krishna does not tolerate the offenses at his feet, meaning to his devotees. Offenses are generally committed by persons who falsely identify with the impermanent body. King Daksha was deeply engrossed in a misconception because he identified the body with the soul. We have heard about this before. Daksha wanted the obeisances given to his body. He offended the lotus feet of Lord Shiva because he thought that his body, being the father of the body of Sati, was superior to Lord Shiva's. Generally, less intelligent men misidentify in that way, and they act in the bodily concept of life. Thus they are subjected to commit more and more offenses at the lotus feet of great souls. One who has such a concept of life is considered to be in the class of animals, like cows and asses. So she's saying, this is very good. Now you're going to get so much trouble from this offense. It's good you committed the offense. Now you will suffer for it. My dear father, you are committing the greatest offense by envying Lord Shiva, whose very name, consisting of two syllables, Shi and Va, purifies one of all sinful activities. His order is never neglected. Lord Shiva is always pure, and no one but you envies him. Prabhupada explains in his purport. Shiva means auspicious, and devotees of Lord Shiva gradually come to the platform of spiritual identification. But that is not all. Auspicious life begins from the point of spiritual identification, but there are still more duties. One has to understand one's relationship with the Supreme Soul. If one is actually a devotee of Lord Shiva, he comes to the platform of spiritual realization. But if he is not intelligent enough, then he stops at that point, only realizing that he's a spirit soul, a hum brahmasmi. If he is intelligent enough, however, he should continue to act in the way of Lord Shiva, for Lord Shiva is always absorbed in thought of Vasudeva. As previously explained, Satvam Vishudam Vasudeva Sabditam, from the 23rd verse in the previous chapter. Lord Shiva is always in meditation on the lotus feet of Vasudev, Sri Krishna. Thus, the auspicious position of Lord Shiva is realized if one takes to the worship of Vishnu. Because Lord Shiva says in the Shiva Purana that the topmost worship is worship of Lord Vishnu. Lord Shiva is worshipped because he is the greatest devotee of Vishnu. One should not, however, make the mistake of considering Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu to be on the same level. This is also an atheistic idea. It is also enjoined in the Vaishnaviya Purana that Vishnu or Narayan is the exalted Supreme Personality of Godhead, and no one should be compared to him as equal, even Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma, not to speak of other demigods. So Lord Shiva's position is being described here. So many, many points. So we heard the dangers of offending a Vaishnava, and here we're hearing the great dangers of offending Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva himself is a great, great soul, the greatest of souls, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. He is the greatest of Vaishnavas and worshipable, the head of the Nimbarka Sampradaya, the Vishnu Swami sect. Sati continues, "You are envious of Lord Shiva, who is the friend of all living entities within the three worlds. For the common man, he fulfills all desires, and because of their engagement in thinking of his lotus feet, he also blesses higher personalities who are seeking after Brahmananda, transcendental bliss." Prabhupada's purport we'll read a little. "Even Vaishnavas, who are above the ordinary and the elevated men in this world," so the ordinary people in this world are the people who want materialistic things, and they worship Lord Shiva to obtain those things. And the above the ordinary people are the ones who want to merge and become one with the Supreme. They are not ordinary because they are above the material level. So they can also worship Lord Shiva to become one. But even Vaishnavas, so that's two levels of worshippers of Lord Shiva, but here is the third level. "Even Vaishnavas, who are above both the ordinary and the elevated men in this world, also worship Lord Shiva as the greatest Vaishnava." So everyone worships Lord Shiva in one form or another. "Thus he is the friend of everyone, the common man, the elevated men, and the devotees of the Lord. So no one should disrespect or create enmity towards Lord Shiva." She continues, "Do you think that greater, more respectable personalities than you, such as Lord Brahma, do not know the inauspicious person who goes under the name of Lord Shiva?" Inauspicious person, she says, because when Daksha criticized Lord Shiva in the sacrificial arena in the second chapter that we read about on the first day, he said, "You are so inauspicious. You put crematorium ashes around you. You have these skulls of persons as your garland. So you don't think that Lord Brahma," she says, "know this, quote, inauspicious person that you call the name Lord Shiva? He associates with the demons in the crematorium. You're saying that he's inauspicious? His locks of hair are scattered all over his body. He is garlanded with human skulls and smeared with ashes from the crematorium. Just as you said, he does these so-called inauspicious things. But yet..." And keep this in mind, she tells her father, "you have criticized him for these things, but yet, in spite of all these inauspicious qualities, great personalities like Brahma honor him by accepting the flowers offered to his lotus feet and placing them with great respect on their heads." So Brahma, your father, takes the flowers that are offered to Lord Shiva's feet and places them upon his head. And you criticize him? You think he's not aware of those qualities that you criticize him for? No. Prabhupada explains in his purport. "It is useless to condemn a great personality like Lord Shiva And this is being stated by his wife, Sati, to establish the supremacy of her husband. First she said, "You call Lord Shiva inauspicious because he associates with demons and crematoriums, covers his body with the ashes of the dead, and garlands himself with the skulls of human beings. You have shown so many defects, but you do not know that his position is always transcendental. Although he appears inauspicious, if he actually is inauspicious, why do personalities like Brahma respect the dust of his lotus feet and place on their heads with great respect those very garlands which are condemned by you?" Since Sati was a chaste woman and the wife of Lord Shiva, it was her duty to establish the elevated position of Lord Shiva, not only by sentiment but by facts. Lord Shiva is not an ordinary living entity. This is the conclusion of Vedic scriptures. He is neither on the level of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nor on the level of ordinary living entities. Then a little further in the purport. Lord Shiva is described in the Brahma Samhita to be like curd or yogurt. Curd or yogurt is not different from milk. Similarly, Lord Shiva is in one sense the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but in another sense he is not. Just as curd is milk, although we have to distinguish between the two. So, Lord Shiva is Krishna in one sense, because he's an empowered agent of Krishna, not a jiva soul like us, much more powerful. But yet he is not the same as Krishna because of his contact with the modes of material nature, his shambhu, or the glance of Lord Vishnu, Sadashiva, and then the expansions of Sadashiva, who directly perhaps touch the material energy, Lord Shiva. So he's not exactly, because Vishnu never directly touches the material energy. Or you can say that he does touch the material energy, but he touches the material energy through Lord Shiva. So he's different from, but yet the same as, the Lord. And you dare criticize him for Sati? Here Lord Shiva is praised by Sati, partially due to her personal respect for Lord Shiva since he's her husband, and partially due to his exalted position, which exceeds that of an ordinary living entity, even Lord Brahma. And when Lord Chaitanya, after he took sannyas, he went from Nadia district in Bengal to Nalacha, to Jagannath Puri in Orissa, and he walked there with the devotees. And he went to one place, I can't remember the name of the place, but there were many Shiva temples, and he went to all the Shiva temples and was chanting and dancing and glorifying Lord Shiva. This is Lord Chaitanya. The position of Lord Shiva is accepted by Lord Brahma, so Daksha, Sati's father, should also recognize him. That was the point of Sati's statement. She did not actually come to her father's house to participate in the function, although before coming she pleaded with her husband that she wanted to see her sisters and her mother. That was a plea only, for actually at heart she maintained the idea that she would convince her father Daksha that it was useless to continue being envious of Lord Shiva. That was her main purpose. When she was unable to convince her father, she gave up the body he had given her, as will be seen in the following verses. So, we'll stop here, and if Krishna allows, we will continue tomorrow and finish the chapter. Not tomorrow, but on Wednesday. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Sati is very heavy, strong. Pashupati Natas Mole. Yeah, Pashupati Natas Krishna Das.
Comparison between Saptavesh avatar and Shiva.
Yeah.
And personality like Brahma, Vidu.
Who's what? What word did you use?
Personality like Vidu.
Bhrigu Muni. Lord Shiva is not Jiva Tattva. He is not Jiva. He is a special Shakti like that. Shiva Shakti. And he has more percentages of Krishna's qualities. What is the the living entities, the Jivas, can have 78% of the qualities of Krishna, while Lord Shiva can have 84%. So Lord Shiva is far, far superior. He can destroy the universe. The jivas cannot do that. So avesh means, shaktavesh means, he's the energy of the Lord, the shakti of the Lord has entered within him. But Lord Shiva, it's not exactly like that. He has his own potency. Is that clear?
Almost.
Really? Good. What little part, what percentage is not clear?
He has his own potency, Shiva. Shiva potency.
He is that potency. He's the Lord's potency. He's not a conditioned soul. The Lord Brahma is a soul like we are a soul. But he is not. A very, very pious soul can become Brahma, but no pious soul can become Shiva. It's a different Shakti, it's an energy of the Lord, is my understanding.
And just like a personal Shiva.
Was there ever a fight between Parsaram and Shiva? Huh? Ram and Shiva?
Yes.
Yes. And who won?
Ram.
Don't be insulted, Sahasra.
Ram and Shiva
fought.
Ram and Parsaram.
Rama is to he's doing that, and he has to bring the shivling. If he's doing any ceremony or something, Rama.
And
but didn't oh, but Arjuna and Shiva fought.
Yes.
Who? Okay, so if someone is empowered with Krishna's energy, then he's of course so powerful. Parsaram and Shiva fought, didn't? Yes or no? Yes. No, yes, no. But who else?
Raman.
Raman.
Raman. Raman. Sri Ramchandra and Parsaram.
But Shiva fought Arjuna and he gave him Pashupati.
With Krishna,
huh?
On behalf of
the sake of Balasuna. Yeah. Lord Shiva fought with and their weapons, the Shiva Dhar and Narayan Dhar.
Yeah, that was Tulsi Devi's husband.
No, no, no.
Shiva fought with the Tulsi Devi's husband.
What's
that?
Right. Oh, glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. Glories to Lord Shiva. Hari Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Is this Sati is, has the role in this Ramayana, like you say, in Ramayana.
You ask him. He'll tell you everything and more. I was reading one book, and I can't. There's just some book I was looking through it, and it said, just like certain places are famous for holy people or something like that. And it said, just like Nepal is famous for its gurus. Really?
No.
Yes, no, no, I read it. It may be wrong, but I read it. In one book.
Perhaps the book where you found somewhere in Nepal Mahatmya or something like that.
No! No, it wasn't. It said, really, it said that. Just like Nepal is famous for its gurus.
Huh? Gurus and Mahagurus are there.
Yes, so many, too many. Yes. And this was not in Amrita Chitra Katha Kamati. It was actually in a book. No,
Gita
actually.
Press.
Huh?
Gita Press.
No, it's not Gita Press. So, what would you say to this? Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. So on Wednesday we will continue. And perhaps in 2 more weeks we will finish this last time.